So if you know anyone that cannot get in on the Zoom meeting, please direct them to our sermon audio website for Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'll see Reverend Gallagher's family. There's Ewan Gallagher and family there, and I see Bryce Gallagher and his wife Janine's on an iPhone somewhere. The Gallagher children are here. I'm waiting for Cal. Oh, there's Calvin. There's Joanne. And is that Katie? Or Allie?
Yeah.
There we are. Okay. Well, without any further ado, I'd like to hand it over to Reverend David Mook, and I'll just go mute here. So, and if anyone... just out of courtesy, if we could all keep our mics muted up until the point where you may be asked to speak, then you can unmute your mic. But I'd like to hand it over to David Mook at this time.
All right. Thank you, Brother Allen. And I want to commend session and committee of the Cloverdale congregation for the work that they have done with the input of Dr. Saunders to organize this most unusual retirement meeting today. It is amazing that by means of this technology, probably many people are able to participate who otherwise would have been prevented by distance. And so we're glad for that today. I wanted to read one verse of scripture as we begin. And we find it in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Unless my memory fails me, it was 30 years ago this spring that I heard Reverend Gallagher preach from this text at the Week of Prayer in the old Warden Avenue Church in Toronto. And ever since that day, this text has been linked in my mind with our brother's ministry. And particularly, I think it is applicable to his ministry today, in that his perseverance in the work of God is a testimony to the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So we desire not only to pay tribute and honor to our brother and his wife today, but also we want to pay tribute and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has sustained his servant through all these years. Glad to have Reverend Reggie Cranston with us today, the minister of our church in Port Hope in Ontario. And I'm going to ask Reverend Cranston to lead us while we pray together.
Well, Lord our God and eternal Father, we bow humbly in thy holy presence this day. Become our God unto thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sole King and head of his church, the one who is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We do bless thee, our God and Father, for this opportunity to gather in a manner such as this, unusual circumstances. But Lord, we're glad that thou art still able to meet with us, and we're still able to meet with thyself. And O Lord God, we pray for thy blessing, the blessing of the triune God, to be upon, Lord, this meeting today.
Amen.
We pray, Lord, that in all things, the name and the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted. Though, Lord, we thank for the Reverend Gallagher and his wife, Beulah. Thank you, dear Lord, for their friendship over many years. We thank thee, Lord, for their faithful stand for the Lord in Cloverdale. We thank thee, dear Lord, for our brother preaching. And we know, Lord, that through his preaching on that great day, there will be many who stand up and call him blessed, because it was through him and his ministry that they received Christ as their Savior. We pray, our God, that thou wilt bless our brother and sister at this time. Amen. Lord, as they will soon take leave of the congregation there, we ask thee, Lord, to give them grace. And give, Lord, each one of them in the church grace also. And, O loving God, we pray that this will be a memorable meeting today.
Amen.
That, Lord, our brother and sister will be able to look back and say, truly, the Lord was with us, and the Lord blessed us. So, dear Lord, abide with us. Bless all who will participate, especially, Lord, the one who will preach the word. And grant, Lord, again, that in all things the great name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be exalted. In his holy, precious name, we do ask all these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I bring to each of you greetings from the Presbytery of the FPCNA. And we have a number of members of the Ulster Presbytery also who are going to be joining us or have joined us already on this meeting today. And so to the Gallaghers especially, we bring greetings from all of our churches in North America, in Ulster, and scattered on various mission fields around the world. And we trust that the Lord will undertake, especially today, to encourage your souls and to direct you in the love of God today. We're very glad to have with us today Dr. McClelland, who is an eyewitness to the whole history of the work of the Free Presbyterian Church in North America. And I'm going to ask Dr. McClelland to take some time now for some reflections on the development of the work of God in general, and especially as it relates to the coming of the Gallaghers to the western part of Canada. So, Dr. McClelland, please go ahead at this time.
Well, it's nice to see everyone here today, and my wife and I are happy to be here, although we would much prefer to be over in Vancouver with you, because we many have memories of those days over there and would like to see you face to face. But with this pandemic, we have to just do what we can. It's kind of sad today because we're coming to the end of an era, and we're marking the retirement of Ian from the ministry here in this church. And he is the only minister that the church has had in its life. And he's faithfully labored here for, I think it's almost 37 years or just over 37 years. I remember I first came here in June 1971, and that was just to have a little look to see what was going to happen. From things developed from there, and the church was started in 1984. That Ian was a hard worker in his church, not only the work of the church, but he got the radio ministry going in Canada, and he stuck at the work. Some people start a work but never finish it, but he stuck at the work, and he was very good. And I hope people realize that behind the radio ministry, there's a lot of work goes on, a lot of behind-the-scenes work that a few people actually know what it is, but it's a lot of work, and he stuck faithfully at the thing. And also, he was a great help to the church in Calgary and in Penticton and in Prince George and Victoria and other congregations as well. And he was always very busy, and he did sterling work in the presbytery. And again, that's behind the scenes that the regular people in the congregation are not aware of. So he was a hard worker, stuck at the job, and he helped the other churches at various stages in their development. He was always a willing worker. Now, after my wife and I retired, I visited, or we visited, Cloverdale on several occasions, the new pulpit supply, and we have nothing but the happiest of memories of the time spent with Ian and Beulah. I'm glad that Reggie's here, because in the church in Oma, Reggie referred to Beulah as Brother Beulah by mistake, and we've always had a laugh at that. But we've always, my wife and I, really enjoyed the fellowship that we had with Ian and Beulah and their family, and they were very hospitable to us and very kind to us. And Beulah's skill in the kitchen is legendary, and so we have enjoyed some very, very nice meals over there. But they're moving to Barrie, Ontario, which is just about 60 miles from us. So Beulah, be prepared. You may have visitors coming in to see you to sample some more of your gastronomic delights. So we're looking forward to that. And I must also today, for their sake, mention the wee dog, Mindy. Mindy, Beulah's remembering Mindy. We had to look after the home sometime when they were, when Ian was off preaching somewhere else. And Mindy was left with us. And I'm glad to report that Mindy seemed to like us. Things went very, very well. We got on well with her. But sadly, that, like many others, Mindy is no longer with us. She's gone to the great big kennel in the sky. And so today, we wish Ian and Beulah the Lord's richest blessings on this new and interesting phase of their life. And I will not lecture them on retirement. It's time enough when they get into retirement, they'll find out themselves what retirement is. And I've always said that retirement is a myth, because you keep going. And I would suggest one little piece of advice, keep going, because the Lord has worked for even old people like us to do. So happy to see you all. Good to see Dave DeCanny over there. And he's still single, but need to get him married. And good to see Mrs. Reutley too. That's good. And good to see you all, actually. I trust that the Lord will bless us today.
Thank you, Dr. McClelland. We've received a number of greetings for this occasion from various ministers and elders in both presbyteries. We will hear from some of our presbytery members in North America in just a little bit. But I want to go through some of the greetings that we've received from Milos Scholz in the Czech Republic. It is on the one hand with sadness that I write these words upon the retirement of the Lord's faithful servant, the Reverend Gallagher. He will be greatly missed as a full-time minister, not only by his own church in Cloverdale, but by all the churches of the Free Presbyterian Church in North America. He leaves a large hole that will be very difficult to fill. On the other hand, I and the church in the Czech Republic wish the Reverend Gallagher and his dear wife the Lord's richest blessings. They have earned a much deserved rest. I will always have strong personal recollections of the Reverend Gallagher's ministry, as he was the moderator when I was ordained into the gospel ministry and as he preached my ordination sermon. Dear brother, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. From Stephen Pollock, the minister of our church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. On behalf of the church family here in Malvern, it is my privilege to wish you both, Reverend and Mrs. Gallagher, God's richest blessing as you enter a new phase of life and ministry. It is a tremendous testimony to God's grace that you have served for so many years and so faithfully in one congregation. You have provided an example of persevering and diligent ministry. Many souls have heard the word of God, and we know that the Lord has been pleased to use your labors in the salvation of souls and the sanctification of the saints. I pay tribute to you, Reverend Gallagher, not only for your service in Cloverdale, but also for your service in our presbytery. Your wisdom and leadership has been so valuable. Personally, I'm very thankful for the guidance you have given me in the past 4 years. May the Lord be gracious to you and continue to use you both as you relocate to Barrie. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. From Phil Owen, the minister of our church in Boston, New York. Congratulations on your well-earned retirement. Fond are the memories of the weeks of prayer in Cloverdale that you and your session graciously hosted. I was blessed by your prayers at the throne of grace as we all poured our hearts before the Lord. Your messages were timely and helpful. And thank you for faithfully undertaking the moderator's significant duties. Tanya is thankful to have been acquainted with Beulah. May you and your bride enjoy more time with your families and many more sunsets together. From the Reverend James Beggs, Minister Emeritus of Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church, we thank God for the faithful and fruitful ministry of Mr. Gallagher, both here in Ulster and in Vancouver, Canada. We also thank God for the support Mrs. Gallagher has been to her husband in their many years together in the work of the Lord. We have very happy memories of fellowship and friendship with them both, first in their time here in Garva and from time to time in Canada. They visited with us, and we had the privilege of visiting with them and the congregation in Cloverdale. Ian and Beulah, we thank God for your dedicated service to the Lord and the gospel, and pray that God will abundantly bless you as you retire from the pastorate and continue to use you in other areas as you serve him. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace today, tomorrow, and until we meet with Christ in his eternal glory. That's from the Reverend James Beggs and his wife, Margaret. From Reverend Reginald Kimbrough, the minister of our church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Jan and I bring you greetings from ourselves and on behalf of the entire church here in North Carolina. We would love to join in via Zoom for the event itself, but I have a funeral that afternoon. It is with fond memories that we look back over the years of your ministry in that corner of the Lord's vineyard. I remember well my first visit as a student minister in 1988 and the witness that you organized out in Victoria when the United Church of Canada continued its declension into further apostasy and ungodliness. Since then, we have known several pleasant visits to the church and to your home over the years. It also comes to mind that it was in the basement room of your new building that we enjoyed such a memorable week of prayer in 1992 when the Lord greatly moved our hearts as a presbytery. But certainly it is the regular ministry of the word in between those and other specific days of blessing and outreach for which we thank the Lord most. May the Lord continue to prosper every seed of the word sown and taught during your many years of faithful ministry there for young and old alike. And as you approach this new phase of life and continued ministry in now different ways, may you draw much encouragement from the knowledge that as you have been steadfast and unmovable and abounding in the work of the Lord, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We look forward to renewed fellowship over the years as the Lord wills. From Reverend Reggie Cranston, who led us in prayer from our Port Hope congregation, greetings to you from Doreen and I and our church family here in Port Hope. I'm sure you both face this special day marking your retirement with mixed feelings. I still remember the night that you both accepted Christ as your Savior back in Oma FPC. Then I remember the night you told me at a presbytery meeting in Kilkeel, I believe it was, that the Lord had called you to serve him in Canada and that you were going to minister in Vancouver. We are thankful to the Lord for your faithful ministry there and elsewhere over the years. We are thankful also for your dear wife, Beulah, who has been no doubt a true helpmeet to you, as together you have served the great King and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, there where he called you to those many years ago. We trust that you will have a blessed and memorable retirement service. We will be praying for you and for the congregation you will be leaving behind. Perhaps we will get to see you both more often as you move to Ontario. Finally, my brethren, trust all goes well for you in your retirement service and that you and Beulah will know much of the Lord's presence and help as you move to a new location and begin a new chapter in your life. We thank the Lord for you. From Reverend Thomas Murray, minister of our church in Lurgan in Northern Ireland. I have known Reverend and Mrs. Gallagher for almost 43 years. Because of distance, we do not see each other very often. However, when we do meet, we pick up just where we left off. We first met in the Theological Hall of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster in 1978. He was 1 year ahead of me, but theologically miles ahead of me, as his results show. When he became the minister of our Garva congregation, we used to play squash together. 40 years on, rather than playing squash, all we can about manage is to drink squash, orange squash. When he moved to take up the work in Vancouver, we missed his friendship, but rejoiced in the establishing and the progress of the work. Mr. Gallagher is a natural expositor of the Word of God. In preaching, he is able to take the most difficult and complex doctrine or passage and make it seem so simple. Someone once explained the duty of a preacher, said, "Put the hay down where the sheep can reach it." Our brother not only preached to the mind, but to the heart, and with great clarity and conviction. In 2018, we had the privilege of meeting up with him and his wife at the Free Presbyterian International Congress, and afterwards we spent some time together in Amish country. We had good fellowship and fun. When you are with Reverend Gallagher, you cannot but feel your heart being drawn closer to the Savior. Our brother, DV, has many years of service ahead of him, but in regard to the pastoral ministry, we can say he has fought a good fight, he has finished his course, and he has kept the faith. In the parable of the talents, the servant who received 5 talents did not waste them, but used them wisely. As the master addressing the servant said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," we can also apply these words to our brother. We wish Ian and Beulah a long and blessed retirement. From Reverend Colin Mercer, the current minister of our church in Oma and the deputy moderator of the Ulster Presbytery, I send you greetings from Oma and all your friends in the congregation at Oma Free Presbyterian Church. Congratulations on years of faithful ministry in Western Canada and for your untiring labors for the extension of Christ's kingdom across the world. Ian, your sterling ministry has been an example to all of us. Your unwavering commitment to the gospel and faithful leadership in the Free Presbyterian Church has not gone unnoticed and has proved a blessing to many. I have thoroughly enjoyed times of fellowship in your home, and the warmth of your Christian hospitality has been second to none. I have clear memories of serving with Ian at presbytery level and his love for the Lord's work and readiness to press on in the course God has set for us has been unshakable. I am thankful for those opportunities and for the lessons I learned from him. Lois and Hannah also have the fondest memories of time spent with you both on outreach opportunities. Thank you for making them feel so welcome and for all your care and attention to them. As you come to retirement, Heather and I trust that you will both know good health and the rich blessing of God. No doubt you'll be busy filling pulpits and giving sound leadership in various roles. Thank you both in the Savior's name for your godly example, gospel work, kindly manner, and faithful service for our Lord Jesus Christ. I have been enriched by your fellowship. Please pass on our very best wishes to your family also. From Dr. Ed Dunbar, a ruling elder in our church in Greenville, South Carolina, Pam and I congratulate you on finishing the course in Cloverdale, though finishing in the midst of a pandemic is certainly unique. I know the folks at the church and your family, friends, and neighbors would love to thank you in person. However, that is not what he has planned, and his ways are always perfect. God will remember you and will be with you, for he is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Thank you for your faithful leadership and your friendship in North America these past 35 plus years. Longevity is not a term that is valued or much thought about these days, but God knows and sees and rewards. We esteem you very highly in love for your work's sake and trust you will know his richest blessings in the days and years that lie before you. From Mr. Tim Yarborough, a ruling elder in our church in Trinity, Alabama. Brother Gallagher, it has been an honor for me to be able to observe your steadfastness in the times in which we have been able to interact. Like many others, as we grow older, my appreciation for stable character has grown with passing of time and experience. Thank you for your service to many over the years on behalf of him who is the governor of the nations. From Reverend Stephen Hamilton, minister of our church in the Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania, I would like to pass on the best wishes of our congregation in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania church and those of my wife, June, and myself to the Reverend Gallagher and his wife at the occasion of his retirement from the pastoral ministry at Cloverdale FPC. We thank the Lord for these many years of faithful service to the Lord and the congregation there, as well as the wider denomination. I remember well the time when Mr. Gallagher and his family left Ulster in the early 1980s to take up the pioneer ministry in the Vancouver area. I was commencing my own ministry while a student in the Theological Hall in the Mount Marion Free Presbyterian Church in 1983. I had no idea then that we would one day be serving in the same presbytery in a different continent in the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. It is a time of change, obviously, for both the congregation there and for the Gallaghers. No doubt the parting of the pastor and the people will be tinged with sadness. Yet we do trust that the Lord who began the work in BC will take it on further under a new servant of God in due course and give Reverend Gallagher a fresh anointing to continue the ministry of the gospel, albeit in a different location and outside of the regular pastorate. May God richly bless the word that has been preached over these many years and yet give fruit that will remain to add to that which has already been given. Our very best wishes for this final weekend of the Gallagher's ministry in Cloverdale. We trust the Lord's presence will be known in a great way. From Reverend Paul Backhurst, the minister of our church in Calgary, Alberta. On behalf of the session and congregation of Calgary Free Presbyterian Church, I would like to give the Lord thanks for his servant's diligent and faithful help to our congregation throughout much of its history. Over the years, this time and effort spent has certainly added up, which means that Mrs. Gallagher is also to be thanked for her share of sacrifice for the benefit of the Lord's work in Calgary. Therefore, we would like to extend our heartfelt congratulations at this time of retirement and wish them both all the Lord's best in the coming years and God's blessing upon the continuing radio ministry. From Reverend David DeCanio, our missionary in Liberia, I truly thank the Lord for the gift that God has given to his church in both Reverend and Mrs. Ian Gallagher. I particularly remember their kindness and hospitality to me on many occasions, especially for the 2 months I stayed with them as I left America to live in Africa. I also thank the Lord for the encouragement that Mr. Gallagher showed to me, particularly when I was a student minister, and also for the encouragement he gave me when preaching my ordination sermon. In many ways, this is a sad occasion, but also a wonderful occasion in that the Lord has kept our brother faithful to the cause of Christ for so many years. I know that the Lord will continue to bless Mr. Gallagher's ever-expanding radio ministry in his retirement years. We have certainly benefited from his broadcasts here in Liberia, and I pray the Lord will give the Gallaghers many years of service still. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." And then last of all, from Mary and me and our work here in Phoenix Free Presbyterian Church. Since 1984, Reverend Ian Gallagher has been the model of consistent perseverance in the gospel ministry. Far beyond concerning himself merely with matters in his own congregation, he has extended his encouragement to many of his colleagues in the ministry. In particular, he paid attention to men who were beginning their ministries and gave them opportunities to preach in his congregation in the Vancouver area. In 1989, he gave me such an opportunity to preach at his church's Easter conference. On that occasion, I met Beulah and their older children. The whole experience was the beginning of what became a close friendship and increasing collaboration in various official capacities, first in the North American Standing Commission and later in the presbytery of the FPCNA. His tenacity in pursuing his calling has left a stellar example for others to follow. Our church in Phoenix is grateful to Reverend Gallagher for his personal ministry in the congregation, especially at the time of the dedication in 2010 of the church's permanent building. Mary and I have enjoyed the warm hospitality and friendship of the Gallagher home on various visits to the Cloverdale Church. We will miss their presence in the West, but we rejoice in their opportunity to shift gears, and we commend them to the Lord on the occasion of Pastor Gallagher's retirement. We rejoice that through the medium of radio, his voice will continue to reach people across Canada and around the world. Now we have some personal greetings that are going to be presented here in our meeting. And so I recognize, first of all, Reverend Andrew Simpson, minister of our church in Prince George, British Columbia.
Thank you, Reverend Mook. I'm delighted to have the opportunity to speak at this retirement service and to thank Mr. and Mrs. Gallagher for all their work and labors over the years on behalf of Heritage Free Presbyterian Church. Reverend Gallagher served for many years as the interim moderator of our congregation. And really, it was through his burden and his vision and his desire for the work and for a work here in Prince George that the work kept going. And the work stayed open even through the highs and the lows. And we admire him for that. And we credit him for keeping the work even going here, even throughout its vacancies. But also want to speak on behalf of the people of Williams Lake. There are a number of people from the Williams Lake area that had been tuning into Reverend Gallagher via sermon audio or the radio, and they'd come to appreciate his ministry. They'd come to appreciate the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church as a whole. And through that, a meeting started with a number of people in Williams Lake. So I know they would want me to pass on your thanks along with the congregation here in Prince George for all of your work and labor. And we look forward to having you up here sometime in the future. We had booked you in to come and speak last Easter, but obviously that didn't happen. This Easter didn't happen either. But it is scheduled in at some point, whenever all of this ends, that you'll both have to make a trip back out west and come up and preach for us as well. On a personal level, I want to thank Reverend Gallagher for his work as my senior minister, for the wisdom, for the guidance that he has given, not just in relation to the church, but also in relation to moving to Canada and everything that would entail as well. I first met Reverend Gallagher in 2014 when I came over to preach in the church in Prince George. And it was the first time I'd met him. I'd only really been there 1 day, 2 days at his home in Vancouver. And then we had to do an 8-hour car journey together up to Prince George. And he didn't kick me out of the car. And I didn't kick him out of the car. And we got on remarkably well. And our friendship has blossomed and even strengthened ever since that day. And I have appreciated his friendship on a personal level. And also for all the advice that he has given in relation to the ministry. I would also like to thank, and I know Naomi would as well, and Eddie, thank Beulah for her friendship towards us as well. On a number of occasions, we've lost count. She has opened up our home to us, and we've been able to stay with them and have great times of fellowship with them. And she has also been a wonderful help in helping us settle into Canada and helping us get different things set up. And so we really appreciate that. And this is not the end of the friendship. We will still be traveling over at some time to Barrie. And if we can get Eddie on a plane and get him to sit for that length of time, we'll definitely come over and be good to see you as well. We also appreciated the Sunday night chats, and we know they'll continue as well. There's one story I want to just relate that stands out about Reverend Gallagher. Much has been mentioned about his radio ministry. And I remember in 2014, we were at White Rock. We were down there in the front strand, and we were handing out gospel literature, seeking to speak with people. And as we were walking up, I would say there was nearly 2 to 3 people that Mr. Gallagher spoke to. And all he said was, "Would you like a gospel leaflet?" And from him saying that, the person stopped. One of them actually came back to us and said, "Are you the man that's on the radio?" And I remember being so impressed by that, that all he had to do was offer them a gospel leaflet, just a couple of words. And they knew who he was through the radio ministry. I thought that was a wonderful impact as well. But you know, there's a word that I had been thinking about to describe the ministry there in Surrey, in Cloverdale. And it already is a word that has been mentioned. It is the word perseverance. And I believe that you have both persevered through the work. You went there, you planted the work, you established the work. You stuck by the work when things were going good, when things got a lot harder, and you persevered. And I think you have set for not just a young minister like myself, but for every young minister and for also our denominations, a wonderful example of what it is to persevere in the ministry. And I want to thank you for that. Thank you for persevering for Prince George, for those in Williams Lake, for those in your own denomination. And the legacy and the impact that you have left on this area, this province of BC, I don't believe we will ever fully know until we get to eternity. Just one more story, just to close. Last Sunday night, I was in Williams Lake, and we were holding a drive-in service. And as I was standing up in the back of the pickup truck, and I was preaching, and I saw this car come in at the end, and they stopped, and they began to listen. And the car, the people in it came up to me at the end and they said, "Are you Reverend Gallagher?" And I laughed to myself and I says, "No, but I know Reverend Gallagher." And these people were so impressed that I knew who Reverend Gallagher was. They had been living in Edmonton. They'd moved to Victoria and they had heard Reverend Gallagher's radio broadcasts over the waves on Victoria. And they'd been following his ministry. Now, I'm not sure if they knew what you looked like, but they definitely knew what you sounded like. And so that means that either I'm picking up more of a Canadian accent or your Ulster accent is still very strong. But either way, I was glad that they thought that. And we pray that the Lord will continue to bless your radio ministry even in the future. And the Lord bless Beulah as well as you set up your new home there in Barrie. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Simpson. We also have with us Reverend Larry Saunders, the minister of our church in Toronto, Ontario, and he's going to bring his own greeting on this occasion. Reverend Saunders will be the interim moderator of the Cloverdale Church after Reverend Gallagher's retirement.
Thanks very much, Brother Mook, for the opportunity of sharing today, and I'm very, very thankful for the occasion. And, you know, Ian and Beulah, this is a very unique occasion. And in many respects, as you have been a pioneer in going out to BC, to the western part of Canada, well, this is a pioneer type meeting today on Zoom. And perhaps it'll be the first of others that will take its place as the whole world has changed in the way it communicates at this time. So I just want to pass on to you, first of all, the greetings from our church here in Toronto, from our elders and deacons, the whole congregation. You folks have visited with us on a number of occasions, and we have always been greatly blessed by your ministry. The times that I've been able to travel to BC and be with you in your home, I've also enjoyed great hospitality. And so we want to just commend you both to the Lord, to give thanks to God for your lives, your testimonies, your ministry there. Not only Ian, of course, who has borne the lion's share of the preaching and the radio work and outreach in so many ways, but also a word of hearty thanks to Beulah, for you have faithfully stood by your husband and playing the organ for so many years in the congregation. What a great blessing that is. And you've both stayed by the stuff faithfully for these many, many years. You know, I don't think that, as Andrew has just mentioned, I don't think it's going to be until eternity that we see the full scale, the full weight of the benefit of what you have done for these 37 years. Mm-hmm. And as you step aside now from this responsibility and you continue in the radio work across Canada, we pray that that will blossom and grow into even many more stations that open up. And to pray also for the radio stations themselves and the word that goes out there to be seed beds for new works and new opportunities that will come. I want to also say a word of thanks to you, brother, for the work you've done as the editor of The Current magazine for over 6 years. You served there as the editor, and it was greatly appreciated. And I say to you personally, the influence that you have been in my own life and my own work, I thank you very much for that. And your friendship in the gospel, your love for Christ, and your influence in preaching the word has been tremendous, and I'm very appreciative for that. And I do look upon the opportunity of being an interim moderator in the church as a great responsibility and a blessing, and I just hope and pray that God will give help and direction for the future. We have already been much in prayer for a new man to be set apart by God to take up this work and carry it on to the next step. So I had an opportunity a couple of weeks ago, as Ian has really allowed me to be brought into the transition in the work for the session and elder and board. And it's been really a smooth transition to this point. And, you know, we had a very special time a few weeks ago when at the close of the meeting, the elders and the deacons, just privately among us, they were able to express their thanks to our brother for his ministry and what it meant to them individually. And that was a very special time. And I know they're going to share again a little bit today, but you know, it was just a very great opportunity. One that, well, it's written down in God's history book as these occasions are. So thank you very much, brother. We keep you in our prayers and we know that you will be praying for us as well.
Thank you, Reverend Saunders. And now we're going to proceed to some comments from the deacons of the congregation. And I'm not sure which of them is going first, Charlie and Vern. But one of the two of you, if you will go ahead and open your mic and you can have this time.
Okay, one thing I would like to appreciate about Pastor Gollaher is his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have never been as committed as Christian as I ought to be, but I've seen him, I heard him pray, and that's a great impact for me. I heard him preach for 4 years on the radio before I became an attendee to the church and became a member eventually. After that, I became a deacon. So one thing I would like personally in my life, as I look to Pastor Gollaher, is that I would also serve the Lord as faithful as he is. So thank you, Pastor, for the ministry of the Word of God here in Cloverdale. May the Lord bless you and Mrs. Gollaher. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charlie. And now, Vern, we'd be glad to hear from you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, yes, I'm Vern Hansen, the Free Presbyterian Church. And I just don't... Ian, since late 80s, early 90s, and I've been a member of the Cloverdale Church for a long time. And I really appreciate having met Beulah and Ian and their family there in the church, and it was a real blessing for that. And it's just knowing Pastor has been a real blessing for me in my lifetime. Shared good times and bad together, and he's always been able to direct me to the Lord and share the word with me. And all the work of Beulah as well in the church, she's always been there to guide and keep things moving in the church and supply a great accompaniment for our hymn singing. And it's been a real blessing that way. Ian himself has always been a great pastor. It's a real blessing and a skill of preaching, and draws people in all the time for his preaching. You'll hear it all the time. People say, oh yeah, I heard his preaching. I had to come see. And it's just been wonderful for that. And yes, he's so good at expository work. And anything that he thinks hasn't gone down well, he'll take the time to explain it well so everybody has gathered in the word and is blessed by it. I'm so thankful for my time and thankful for his time of retirement. We're the same age and able to take his retirement. But I know he won't retire. He'll just do it on new work for the Lord because that's what his gift and goal is. So we appreciate that, and we're looking forward to the more of his word. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for this time, and I wish the Lord to bless and that he have a real wonderful last years, Lord. May they be many in time. I pray that the Lord be with you in your holy name there, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you to the deacons of the congregation. Now we're going to hear from the elders, and I'm going to recognize the host of our meeting, first of all, Alan Samuel, and then following him, Andy Wurzma, who also has some presentations to announce.
First of all, can you hear me?
Yes.
Very good. Well, I've been at the Free Presbyterian Church since 2010. I first heard Reverend Gallagher on the radio, just like our brother Charlie, for about 4 years before I stepped into the church building itself. And when I first heard Pastor on the radio, I thought, well, that man is very harsh, but I like him. And he was preaching the gospel very faithfully. And that's what I was looking for. I was looking for somebody that would just preach the Bible. And unashamedly. And Pastor was an expository preacher and preaches the word very thoughtfully. And so I appreciate that greatly. And ultimately, this is a testimony of God's holding power over Pastor and his wife. They've served in this church for over 30 years. That is a testimony to the faithfulness of God in the lives of our pastor and his wife. And I am so blessed to be here in this church. Pastor has been a great minister, not only in the pulpit, but personally as well. He was with my family at a very trying time when my mother had died from cancer. He would visit her in the hospital and pray with her and spend time. And those are the things that impact a lot. The hits near home. And so it's not just he's in the pulpit preaching and studying. No, he's actually out there doing what a pastor is supposed to do. Visiting people, seeing people. All that, the heart work, I would call it, of the ministry. A stalwart, I would call Reverend Gallagher. He's been a good example to us, to me personally as a young man. And he married me and my wife in the church. That was a huge occasion for me. And so I've been blessed. My cup overfloweth as I sit in the church. And I'm so happy every Sunday to be here. And I'm praying and hoping that we can meet again in these doors. Will open and church will commence as usual. But this is definitely not the end. This is a practice run for me to call up Reverend Gallagher in the future for more Zoom meetings. But nonetheless, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Ms. Gallagher. You were both very hospitable to me when I first came to the church, and you continue that. And I appreciate that the Lord has brought you here to Canada, and that he's done a work in your lives, and that the Lord is not done. He's never done. There's plenty of work to do. You might be retired, but that doesn't mean you're done. So Lord willing, we'll speak soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Alan. And now recognize our brother Andy Wurzma, the other elder of the congregation. And he has a word of appreciation and then some presentations. Go ahead, Brother Andy.
Thank you, Reverend Mook. It's a pleasure to be here this day. Thank you to all who joined in and participate in this time of giving thanks to the Lord for Reverend Gallagher and his ministry, and also for Beulah and her ministry of music in the church. We're thankful for these things. It has been a big effect on my wife, myself, and my family. We have been here 34 years under the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're so thankful for that. The Lord has called us here. We have remained. He's called us into various services and ways to help around the church, and all of them under the eyesight of our pastor. And it has been a blessing. We're so thankful for him for these years, for the ministry. We're thankful for the souls that have been saved under the preaching of our pastor, that the Lord Jesus has been faithful. He has touched the hearts of many, and he has saved souls to enter into the kingdom. We're thankful for this. We're thankful for the faithfulness of our pastor. We ask that the Lord would be with him, help him. He's not retired from the ministry. He's retiring to another place, and he will have an abundance of work to do, as much as he desires, I would think. And we ask that the Lord would continue to bless the ministry, bless the radio ministry, bless the Free Presbyterian Church in North America and in Ulster, even Nepal. The Lord has blessed it in many places, and we ask that it would continue to grow. As blessed in our family, our families grew up together. There is a knowledge of that communion in the Lord Jesus and his faithfulness to our families, to work in the hearts of each one. Now, grandchildren, we are so blessed, and we give the Lord the praise, for he is worthy. And as my job tonight or today, we do have a gift. We don't have any plaques or things like that to give, but we do have a gift for you. It will be in the church on Sunday morning for you. There are several cards and maybe even a surprise gift from someone, but those things will be there for you. We hope you appreciate them, and we look forward that we may be able to meet you again, whether it be in Barrie or Vancouver or somewhere else, that the Lord would bless our times together as he has in the past, and that we would give him all the praise and the glory. He is a wonderful God who has supplied all our needs and has promised to do so. So we give him the praise. Thank you again in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Andy. And certainly when we hear the testimonies of the office bearers of the church, it is a reflection of the impact of Reverend Gallagher's ministry. And we're glad for all that we find in the lives of those who have sat under his faithful labors in the work of our church in Cloverdale. We're glad to have Reverend Andy Foster with us today, the minister of our church in Penticton in British Columbia, in the Okanagan, which is the area where the Gallaghers always enjoy spending time. And I think they're going to spend a little more time in the weeks ahead. So we're glad to have Reverend Foster, who's agreed to bring the Lord's word to us on this occasion. And I recognize him at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Mook. And it is a joy for Jill and I to be able to join in the meeting today. The scripture tells us that we are to render to all their dues honor to whom honor is due. And unhesitatingly, we want to honor Ian and to honor Beulah for the work that they have done for the Lord over these many years. I have known both of them, Beulah slightly longer, but known both of them since childhood. And our connection was renewed after Ian moved to Canada. I had come to Fredericton to fill in, and Ian phoned me in the middle of the night. He had forgotten the time difference for some reason, and he phoned me in the middle of the night to wake me up to ask me if I would come to preach in BC. And that was the beginning of a chapter in our life that has gone on now since 1997. And we're grateful to Ian and to Beulah for their help and their support and their example and for the work that they have done faithfully together in the ministry of the gospel here in this part of the world. It is a blessing to be able to say thank you to them and thank you to the Lord for his grace in their lives. And we do look forward to seeing them again in the next few days whenever they start their Trans-Canadian Trek. And we wish them the Lord's richest blessing upon them and upon the family as they start this new chapter in life. But as you indicated, I have been asked just to bring a short message from the Word of God, and I'd like to turn to a very familiar passage in 2 Corinthians and the chapter 3. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read a couple of verses at the beginning of that chapter, 2 Corinthians 3 and the verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen, and we do trust that the Lord will add his own blessing to our Bible reading. We should maybe just pause for a moment's prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for your mercy in Ian's life and in Beulah's life as well, as his helper in the gospel witness. We're grateful for lives recovered from sin and made useful for the cause of Christ. We pray, Lord, that as we look at these words together today, there will be a sense of thy presence and of thy blessing.
Amen.
And that, Lord, we will be conscious of the ministry of the Spirit of God among us. Even though we meet in somewhat strange circumstances, Lord, we pray that we will be conscious of hearts knit together in the great cause of the gospel for Jesus' sake. Give help now as we consider these things. We ask it in Jesus' great name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In some sense, in these verses, Paul is reviewing his accomplishments as a gospel minister. He had preached as an apostle among the people in Corinth, and as you know, had been instrumental in the formation of that congregation. Sadly, of course, as we know from the context of the epistle, there is a tragic reason for him writing in this vein, and that some disaffected elements in the congregation had questioned his credibility as a servant of Christ and as a minister of the gospel. And as Paul vindicates his ministry, there are a number of important truths that he draws to our attention that I believe are applicable, though the circumstances are slightly different. Yet there are thoughts suggested here that I believe are appropriate as we think of Ian's retirement from the active pastorate in Cloverdale. And because of the constraints of time, I'm just going to point out a few things very briefly. First of all, I want you to see here that he draws our attention to the fact that changed lives were testimony to his labors for God. He had left behind a witness of lives that had been changed by the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the evidence that Paul had been the servant of God among them, that the Holy Spirit, by the power of the gospel of Christ, had effected change in the lives of those to whom he is writing. If you notice there in the verse 3, he says, "Ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart." What a wonderful thing it is to have that evidence that here are men and women whose hearts have been changed. change to such a degree that in effect they become, as it were, a letter from Christ himself, a means of revelation from the Savior, ministered by Paul. But here are people, and their lives have been transformed. Later on, as you know, in the chapter, in the final verse, he talks about the great transforming process of the gospel, changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Here's the evidence that Paul points to. Here is the fruit of the ministry that all of us here today who are ministers must never forget that we are striving towards. Here's what we're laboring for, to see lives transformed. And ultimately, this is how the success of a ministry is to be measured. Here is the great goal, the accomplishment of the minister of Christ. And how grateful we are. We've heard testimony from some today, and there are multitudes who, if they were able, would echo those words again and again. The evidence of lives that have been changed under Ian's ministry. As he preached Christ, hearts have been melted, sinners have been saved, saints have been strengthened. That's the mark of a man of God. And it is important at such a time as this that we recognize that that is the ultimately the only credible evidence that a man has been a servant of the Lord. How many sadly leave a trail of wreckage and destruction behind them? But we're thankful to the Lord for the fact that we can look at Ian's ministry and see evidence of so many lives that have been blessed, hearts that have been changed, hearts that bear the evidence of God having written his word by his finger in them. And we're grateful for that. It's the evidence of a man of God. Now, Paul himself takes comfort from this. I suppose from a human point of view, the point of retirement has its traumas attached to it. The life that Ian has known, the discipline, the schedule, all of those things are going to change. There's a looking back on the past, maybe, and wondering about what has been accomplished. But see how Paul talks about this as being the basis of his confidence before God and before men. Verse 4, such trust or such confidence have we through Christ to Godward. He could look at the human evidences of his ministry and he could feel, indulge a certain confidence, a proper confidence. He says it's a confidence through Christ. He's not confident in himself. He's not confident in the fruits of his own labor. We'll see that again in a moment or two. He's confident through Christ. He recognizes it's the Lord's work. But it's confidence toward God. And what a blessing it is to be able to come to the end of a course of work in life, and for Jesus' sake, to be able to look God in the eye and say, Lord, here's the evidence of my work. Here's the evidence of the gospel at work in the power of the Spirit. Lives have been changed. It's a reminder, is it not, to us all that here is the sense of accountability that every servant of God must labor under. We labor for the day of account. We labor for that day when we will cease from our labors and give account to the Master himself. And while retirement is in many ways just a milestone of human experience, it is a reminder that the day of account is drawing nearer. There was a time in Ian's life, as there is for all of us, where retirement seemed a long way away, but it has come. And the time is short, And one day we must give account. And therefore we must bear in mind that the only thing that matters is to have a ministry that, under God, changes lives. Something else I want you to see here, and that is the true cause of his success as a minister. As he looks at the trophies of his ministry in these words, he is careful, as we know from Paul's character revealed elsewhere in Scripture, he's careful to deflect attention, humbly deflecting attention away from himself. He had, of course, learned to do that in the hardships that the Lord took him through. That thorn in the flesh taught him not to lean on himself, but to trust in the Lord. We have a reference here to the grace of God at work. Not the word itself doesn't appear specifically, but it's the grace of God he's talking about. We're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers or sufficient ministers of the New Testament. God had enabled them. God had enabled them. And his desire here is to exalt the work of God's grace for Jesus' sake. Mm-hmm. That's what had enabled him to do what he had done mm-hmm. among those people. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's Ian's heart. He'll have opportunity to speak in a few minutes, and no doubt that's what he's going to say. If I know anything about Ian, that's what he's going to say. That the grace of God enabled him to labor for all these years, enabled Beulah to stand with him, to keep going in the work that God had called them to. Let me just quickly read you some of the other statements he makes in this vein. 1 Corinthians 15:10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. He had, in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, in those well-known words, said, as he spoke of his thorn in the flesh and the messenger of Satan, he had learned from the Lord, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He wrote to Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And we unhesitatingly honor Ian for the fact that the grace of God was not in vain in his life. He labored, he worked, he served God faithfully and well. And yet we have to recognize the function of grace. We see in him an evidence that the Lord has favored his church, that the Lord has worked and has kindly given to us such a man and such a ministry. And his burden for these believers was that they would recognize the work of God in what had been done. Earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you remember how he said, I haven't preached with the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, that their faith would not be in men, but in God. And it's important that as we exercise a ministry, and I know this has been Ian's burden, you don't look at the man, but look at the God who enables the man, who gives the man the words, gives the man the grace to be as he ought to be in the ministry. And today we thank God for the grace that the Lord gave to Ian and for his humble, faithful desire to serve God. Put the Lord first in all things. And as we look at what we have known of him, surely we're prompted to pray, let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably, mm-hmm. with reverence, and with godly fear. One final little thought in conclusion. For Paul reflects on the nature of the work that he had been engaged in. Inevitably, retirement is a time of reflection. A reflection on how we got here, what we did, long years of service in the ministry. It's an important part of this chapter of life. Now, in the background to Paul's words here, throughout the whole chapter, is the wonderful history of Israel's experience of God at Sinai, where God had revealed himself in a marvelous visible fashion, and particularly he is making repeated reference to Moses' personal experience of God. And throughout the verses, he draws various practical and theological lessons from that history. But principally, at this point in the chapter, he is using that experience in the form of a contrast to illustrate the glorious nature of the gospel work that he had been called to. That far beyond anything seen at Sinai, far beyond anything even that Moses witnessed personally, that glory that made his face to shine, Paul says, I have a glorious calling that excels even that, because I have handled the new covenant, the full revelation of the glory of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we come today to mark Ian's retirement, I trust that it'll be part of his reflections, and it ought to be part of ours. What a great work God called him to. There is none higher, none more glorious. In the sense, he's been able to do more than Moses. He's been able to experience greater things, even in handling the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here is a thought that will, I trust, sweeten his retirement reflections. There'll be hard times to remember. There'll be tears to remember. There'll be painful memories, no doubt. But it will sweeten them all to think about the fact that those were sufferings in the context of a glorious calling. And the challenge comes to us who continue in the work, even as his work changes, that we may be as those who have met God, that our face too will shine, even in a greater way than Moses ever did, that we will carry the reflection of a glorious Savior in our service for him. Ian, may the Lord bless you. Beulah as well. But may the Lord guide and keep and comfort you. May you live in the light of his kindness for the Savior's sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Foster. Appreciate so much the word that you have brought to us today. Now I'm going to recognize Reverend Gallagher to respond not only to the message, but to all that has gone on in this special meeting today. So, Brother Ian, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mook. Maybe someone would tell me who this Ian Gallagher is, because I'm not sure if I know him. Everyone has been much too kind and generous with their statements today, and I appreciate that love and that favor that you have shown, and I do give the praise, of course, to the Lord. So I thank you for all your kind comments and for Mr. Foster's message and for those that were written as well and spoken. I also received emails and texts and messages, and I appreciate every one of them. And it does make us to reflect of the years that have rolled by and the opportunities God has given. And we're just thankful that you take those little opportunities, and you think they're so small at the time, you think they're so insignificant. And when you do what the Lord would have us do, then it does seem to blossom, and we just praise the Lord for that. I have a Bible text I'd like to leave with you, and if you don't remember anything else that I say today, I would like you to just remember this one verse, 1 Corinthians 9:16. And while you're looking that up, I want to thank you all for joining in on this Zoom call, and for those who are listening in by webcast as well. I appreciate the time that you give here in midday on a Saturday, and we appreciate that very much. And family and friends back in Northern Ireland, and others from around the world that are tuning in, this is very humbling just to see you and to know that you are spending this time with us. So 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." I suppose preachers know what it is to be shut up to the place where you can do nothing else, where no matter what other opportunities are open, whether it's secular, business, ease, or any other way of life, when the Lord calls, there's a necessity. You must. There's a must to doing the will of God. And I, at this juncture of my life, look back and I just marvel at the way the Lord has led. I don't apologize for letting you know today that I am a free Presbyterian from the crown of my head to my toes. It was Beulah's father who invited Dr. Paisley to conduct a gospel campaign in our hometown of Omagh. And he erected a 1,000-seater tent. He preached the gospel every night for 6 weeks. Souls were saved, people were blessed, and a new church was formed. I was never at those meetings, but I did come along to the new church. And it was there that I met Beulah. I had already known her at school, but it was at Omagh Free Presbyterian Church that I met Beulah, and we took a fresh interest in each other. She doesn't like me to tell that she winked at me from the organ, but that sort of eased the way for me from there on. And I heard the gospel as I'd never heard it before. I'd been to a Presbyterian church, but I had never really understood or heard the gospel. And so I owe my salvation to the preaching of God's word at Omagh Free Presbyterian Church. And I remember distinctly that night when the Reverend Cranston preached, and he invited any that wanted to be saved to meet him at the back room, and Beulah and I did, and that was the night of my conversion. And I have to praise God for that ministry that led me out of darkness into the light of the gospel. There I grew as a new Christian. I was encouraged by God's people. And of course, Beulah's family were very encouraging to me as well, prayed for me. And 2 years later, I felt the call of God to preach the gospel. I'll not take time to go into all of that, but soon I was at the Theological Hall along with the Reverend Cranston. His final year was my first year. And Mr. Murray spoke of his attendance there. He came in a year later. And what teaching we got. We had on Tuesday mornings, the Reverend S.B. Cook preaching, teaching homiletics, which is Mr. Wagner's subject now in our seminary in Greenville. And I see Mr. Wagner here with us today. And then in the afternoon on a Tuesday, we had Dr. Kearns. That was for 3 years before he came to America. The only thing we didn't like about Dr. Kearns' lecturing was the exams that he set. They lasted 2 days. They were grueling. But I received the gospel and the doctrines of the faith drilled into me that have stood with me all these years. And then on a Thursday morning, when he was available, Dr. Paisley was our teacher of church history. And we were never sure when he would turn up. But when he did, he gave us enough work to do for a month. And that was a great introduction to Protestantism, to Reformation doctrines and truths and history. And then on Thursday afternoons, we had the Reverend John Douglas. Now, there's one other lecture I must not forget, and that is my fourth year was the Reverend Jim Beggs. And he sent in a message today. And his year of teaching was really influential on me. If there's any man that I would model my life on, I would highly recommend the life and conduct of the Reverend Jim Beggs. The Reverend Douglas, on Thursday afternoons, he taught us Greek, Hebrew, and English Bible. Well, I loved the English Bible, and I got onto the Greek, but the Hebrew was my cross. It was tough, and I still thank the Lord for the introduction to those things. I'm not sure if I mastered Hebrew. I can't say I did. But the Lord gave me a framework, a teaching that enabled me to go out and to begin a ministry for the Lord. Now, 3 years I was ordained in Garve FPC, and then I was 3 years there and came out to Canada in 1984. And then in 2005, I was working under the FPCNA, that was the establishment of the new presbytery. And I thank God for the framework under which we minister. No man is an island to himself. What tributes were paid today, and yes, they were very generous and kind, but they're only possible because of the framework, I'll use that word, of the denomination. The presbytery, the guidelines, the accountability, and the example, the fellowship of other brethren in the ministry, they were powerful. And our weeks of prayer were life-changing. And without them, there's no way that I would be ending here today with thankfulness as I am. And so this has been a ministry of holding the fort and holding the line. And it's been no small task, I assure you. There have been many battles along the way. And we've had to take our stand against so many things. North America is a theological mess. And we need God's power and help to stand up for the Lord and to just plow a straight furrow. And that has always been my contention. Just keep plowing the straight furrow and the Lord will bring us through. And I just want to give him the praise today. One other Bible text I'll leave you with is 1 Peter 1:5. Kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed unto the last day. My first gospel tract that I ever tried to write, I say tried because it was not easy for me, but I got it done. And I went to the printer to choose a graphic for the tract. And the text of it was 1 Peter 1:5, kept by the power of God. And I wanted to find a graphic that would crystallize the message. And we flicked through files, as you did at a printer in those years, and came upon this perfect one. And it was a picture of the earth hanging in the universe on nothing. And then we put the text under it, kept by the power of God. That's my testimony. And I give God the praise for the grace that he has given me and to Beulah. I cannot thank the Lord enough for giving me Beulah as my wife. She is the one that in many ways is the quietest in the church. But because she's the organist, she's also the loudest. She probably makes more noise in the church than anyone else. Now, when God made me, he didn't give me the music genes. I just didn't get them. But the Lord gave me Beulah to compensate for all my lack in music. And she has had many little instructions for me on a Saturday night. Don't sing that hymn. Or, yes, that one will work, but not that one, and so on. And these have been the years of privilege and service that we've enjoyed. And I just want to thank the Lord for Beulah today. I thank the Lord for Ewan and for Grace, for Bryce, for Calvin and Lloyd. What blessings each of them have been in our lives. And we still thank the Lord for the constant, well, now it's FaceTime and texts and all those things, but the Lord has been good. And I want to thank my family for all their support to me. And I know there have been many times that I have not been there to give you the time. And I've been shut away in my study and you knew not to interrupt me. And yet, I just thank the Lord for you. And I pray that God will bless you and keep you all your days. And for our grandchildren as well, some of them are joining us, and I can see a few of them. And we are, again, so thankful for the Lord's goodness in all of that. For Andy and Alan, for Vern and Charlie as our elders and deacons, what a blessing it has been to work with you. I've always worked on the principle you have to work with the men that God sends you. And I just want to thank you for coming and standing alongside to be elders and deacons in our church. What sweet, united fellowship we've had in these recent years. The Lord has been with us. And in our discussions and in our decisions of the church, you have been very supportive. I always like it when I come with proposals that everybody sees eye to eye and agrees with them perfectly. Then I can say, well, it must have been the right one. But sometimes, of course, we have to work our way through to see the right way and modify things. And that's how things happen in church work. And for my whole congregation, members, Sunday school teachers, and all who attend, thank you. Thank you for your support and your fellowship. And please pray that as I continue on in the radio ministry, in each of the stations that we're on, that the Lord will continue to show his favor. I do have to be careful when I go out places, that when I open my mouth, someone's going to be able to identify me. That happened one evening in Rona. Beulah and I were there looking for something. And I was talking to one of the attendants, and there came a voice in the midst of the store, Pastor Gallagher. And it was Charlie. Charlie was in the next aisle and he heard my voice and he came over and introduced himself. And I say this humbly, that has happened to me many times. And I'm very thankful for the many that have come to our church as a result of that radio broadcast. I think Andy and Susan might be something of the exception. The Lord brought them to our church in another route, a very dramatic way, but I will tell that story again. But the vast majority of people have come to our church through the radio ministry. And my prayer now is that I can help our churches, both here in this area, but across Canada, that the Lord will use this ministry to bring people to build up our churches. And I know that's a big ask, and I know that's a big vision, but I pray that the Lord in his mercy will do that, and that whatever years the Lord gives to do this work, that will be continue to be a means of building up our churches and glorify the name of the Lord. So thank you. A thousand thank yous. And please press on. Let's go on to serve the Lord, because necessity is laid upon us that we must preach the gospel. Now, Beulah's just pointing out to me that we've got Ewan's wife, Rachel, with us, Bryce's wife, Janine, Calvin's wife, Joanne, and Lloyd's wife, Jessie, and Grace's husband, Aaron. You see how Beulah keeps me right? She's been doing that for a lot of years, And we just are thankful for the Lord's goodness to us. And again, I say, necessity is laid upon us. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Let us all take that to heart today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Gallagher. It certainly has been my privilege to work closely with Reverend Gallagher in the presbytery here in North America. And it's always been a source of blessing to me to know that I can contact him, we can talk over various issues, and that there is a heart to see things in the same way. And that has been a great encouragement to me. But we do thank all of you for joining us in this special meeting today, certainly an unprecedented meeting in some ways, but we trust that the Lord will use it to encourage our brother Ian and our sister Beulah at this time in their lives. Now, we've been very glad to have with us today Reverend Thomas Murray, who is the minister of our church in Lurgan in Northern Ireland, and remember well the fellowship that we shared with him and his wife at the Congress in Malvern in 2018. And I got to see the Murrays and the Gallaghers together during that time and got some sense of the depth of their friendship. And we're glad that he's been able to join us today. And I'm going to ask Reverend Murray to lead us in prayer as we close this special meeting today.
Let's just pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of fellowship this evening. We thank thee for thy word to our hearts and to its challenge to us as well. And Lord, we come tonight to give thee thanks for thy hand upon the Reverend and Mrs. Gallagher. We thank you, Lord, for that times in their lives when you came and you drew them savingly unto thyself. And we thank thee for not only saving them, but we rejoice for thy guiding hand upon their lives. And we thank thee that when they heard the call to leave the shores of Ulster and to go to Vancouver, we thank thee that they never hesitated, but they were willing to do thy will. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts that thou hast given to our brother and for his leadership, not only in Vancouver, but for his leadership in the work in North America.
Yes.
And we rejoice that his ministry has touched and changed many lives. And we pray, Lord, that even as he retires from the work in Vancouver and moves home, that you will continue to keep your good hand upon him. We thank thee that one door shuts, another door opens. And we pray that thou wouldst bless him in his ministry in the days that lie ahead. And we pray, Lord, that even as they settle into a new area, that you would keep your hand upon them and that you would do them good. We thank thee for their family as well. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless them and remember the work in Vancouver. We pray for our brother as he looks after the work, even in this time without a minister. But we pray, Lord, soon that thou wouldst call someone to take up the work and to build upon the solid Amen. Foundation that our brother has laid there. So, Lord, thank you for this time. And we pray that you would keep thy hand upon us and bless in the preaching of thy word in across not only Canada, America, but here in Ulster as well. And bless our brother especially in his final messages there in Vancouver. For we ask these things, Lord, in thy name and for thy glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mr. Moore, may I just say a few things? I'd like to challenge Mr. Murray to another game of squash before long. I think we should do it soon. And also, I want to thank Andrew Simpson for not spilling the beans on me about that trip to the airport. I thought he was going to tell the whole story. But on that morning, taking him to the airport, there was a bit of a traffic buildup. And I was concerned about him being late for his flight. And I went over a solid white line. It was not a long distance, but it was a bit of a shortcut. And I ran into a police speed trap. Got myself a nice ticket that morning. And have to blame Andrew for that one. But thank you, Andrew, for keeping the confidence on that. Very nice to see Mr. and Mrs. Beggs here.
Yes.
Thank you for joining in with us on this service today. I appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you to all who have given time for this special service today. Many others would have liked to join but could not do so for various reasons. But we thank you for joining us. And special thanks to our brother Alan, who has had to get up to speed and learn how to run a Zoom meeting of this scope. And we trust that the Lord will use that experience in the days to come. So thank you all for joining us, and trust that the Lord will bless you, Brother Ian, in your ministry of God's word tomorrow in the church in Cloverdale.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody.
Bye now.
That was very nice.
Yeah. I have to thank him for that.
Nice banner, Charlie.
Yeah, thanks for the banner, Charlie. Happy retirement.
It's Dean's idea, Pastor.
Very good. Thank you for that. Hi, Anne. This is Beulah's sister. This is Beulah's sister, Anne, and her husband, Raymond. That's Beulah's big sister, I mean older sister.
Yeah. Both.
Great to have you with us today. Hi, Stephen. And Mr. Jones, you joined us. Very good. Very good. And Helen, this is another of Beulah's sister, Helen. And Daryl, her brother Daryl and his wife were in the service as well. And Wesley, yes, don't forget Wesley. Wesley is
Helen's her wee sister.
The younger one.
Angus.
Very good.
And the weir one.
Yeah. Very good. So
all the best to you. God bless.
All right. Thanks, Raymond. Thanks. So, what's happening in Ulster these days?
It's raining.
What a call.
Hailstones.
Hailstones, oh boy.
Hailstones.
Must be Easter time.
Hailstones, rain, and sleet.
Came at Easter time. Yeah.
And there was a few letters that came really late, Mr. Mooney and Armin Tomassian. So I guess we'll have to send them to you.
All right. Well, where are they, at the church?
No.
No, on Andy's email.
Oh, okay. I'll just forward them. That's fine. Sure. That's good. Very good. Thank you for that. Good. Hi, Stephen. How's things with you? Yeah.
Your microphone, Stephen.
Yeah, you need to open your microphone, Stephen.
There we go. How's that?
That's good.
There we go. Yes, all is well. I'm delighted to be able to tune in.
That's great.
And I think back to the summer of 2015 when you preached on the joy of the Lord. And I left that meeting coming directly to you saying, I need to be baptized. And so I thank you very much for your ministry.
Amen. Well, it was a great day when you and Nicola came to church. It was a great day.
Yeah.
Amen. That's great. That's great. Mm-hmm. So I talked to your dad this week, and it's nice to have a chat with him. Yeah.
Oh, good. Very good. Mm. Good.
All right. So it must be lunchtime now. I'm getting hungry here. Yeah. So thank you. Thanks, Alan. Alan, I want to thank you. I know that this was a big task for you. It was all new. But now you know. You got experience now.
It's the only way to learn. Just dive right in.
Right. You got thrown into the deep end on this one.
That's it.
There you go. All right.
You did very well, Ian, Beulah, too. It's not easy.
Well, thank you. Yes. Well, it was of necessity. Got to do what you got to do. Yeah.
I do want to thank my wife and children for their patience, so. Are they at the church
with you?
No, they're not.
Oh, they're not. Oh, I see the picture up in there. Yeah.
They're at home.
Yeah. Well, wives need lots of patience. Yeah. Lots of patience.
So do husbands.
I think it's time to go.
Yeah.
All right, take care, everybody.
Well, everyone.
Bye.
The Lord bless you. Bye. See you all soon, I hope. Okay, bye now.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.